Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power, power,
power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio this morning. The scene was San Diego Superior Court. There was two men on trial for armed robbery. An eyewitness took the stand. The prosecutor moved carefully. He began, "So, you say you were at the scene when the robbery took place?" "Yes." "And you saw a vehicle leave at the high rate of speed?" "Yes." "And did you observe the occupants?" "Yes, two men." "And," the prosecutor boomed, "are those two men present in court today?" At this point, the two defendants sealed their fate, for they both raised their hands. You know, guilt sometimes can do funny things to a person. Reading in a prison fellowship newsletter, Charles Coulson told of a young boy who had become very fearful during the great New York blackout of 1977. When his parents began to question their son, he confessed that at the exact moment the lights went out, he had kicked a power line pole. And as darkness engulfed the city, he thought he was to blame and would surely be punished. His guilt came from a lack of understanding. But what about you? Do you live in guilt or do you live with peace in your heart? Today we're going to talk about walking free from guilt as our program continues.
I was in sin's prison, oh so dark and cold, just a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. Then the door swung open, Jesus said to me, "I have signed your pardon, you may now go free." Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know, took my place at Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I'll give him, he gave his for me, when he signed my pardon back at Calvary. When the Savior led me from that awful place, I could hear the angels, they sang Amazing Grace. I knew I was pardoned from my sin and shame, then I joined their singing, glory to his name. Life is now worth living since I have been set free. I'm glad he was willing to save a wretch like me. Now I have a mansion, not a prison wall. Jesus signed my pardon, yes, he paid it all. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place at Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I'll give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon back at Calvary, all my life I'll give him, he gave his for me. He gave his for me. When he signed my pardon back at Calvary, Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. Took my place at Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I'll give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon back at Calvary, all my life I'll give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon back at Calvary.
Truly it is a wonderful thing to know peace and pardon from sin. Let's look to our Lord in prayer this morning and thank him for the peace that we can have. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the provision you've given to us, that Jesus died on the cross so that we may know what it is to have our sins forgiven. Help us to get a better grip on what you've done for us. I pray, Lord, that you would work and move. You see each one that's going to be worshiping you in services this morning and this evening. Lord, we want your will to be accomplished. May you be glorified for all that you've done. For truly you are worthy of our praise. The fact that there is no condemnation for those that have their sins forgiven is a wonderful thing. And may we never lose sight of what Jesus has done on the cross. And because of his pardon and his power, we have hope of living in heaven with you. What a wonderful thing we have to praise you for. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea. I have been washed in the stream of salvation, and I am free. I have good news, your sins are forgiven. They're farther away than the east is from west. Come now and bathe in that stream of salvation, and know his best.
Know his mercy, know his goodness, know the joy of righteousness.
Come for healing, come for wisdom, come the Father longs to bless.
I am God's child, I stand here forgiven. My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea. I have been washed in the stream of salvation, and I am free.
I must keep my spirit filled with all that God has spoken.
Then I'm safe from Satan's lies. I'll know his power is broken, broken.
I have good news, your sins are forgiven. They're farther away than the east is from west. Come now and bathe in that stream of salvation, and know his rest.
Know his mercy, know his goodness, know
the joy of righteousness.
Come for healing, come for wisdom. Come the Father,
the Father longs to bless. I'm God's child, I stand here forgiven. My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea. I have been washed in the stream of salvation, and
in ministry, one of the toughest and most disheartening problems we see is a person who's been freed from sin slip back into the old life and once again become bound again in the same sin that they were once freed from. Chuck Colson wrote of a prison fellowship volunteer who faced many of these situations and in frustration stated, "I feel so very overwhelmed. How can I tap into the Lord's power? I know Christ is the victor, but where is the victory? We're supposed to get a hold of the same resurrection power that brought Jesus back to life. What's wrong?" I think that this is a very important and pertinent question for our day. How do we reconcile failures and spiritual stumbling with the power of God to totally transform a life? Today we're going to look to the book of Romans, chapter 8, to see what God's word has to say about this. This chapter addresses the question, must a believer spend his whole life on earth frustrated by ongoing defeats to indwelling sin? And another question, is there no power provided to achieve victory? To those questions, the first, I say, no, a believer does not have to spend his whole life on earth frustrated by ongoing defeats because of sin. And to the second, yes, there is a power provided to achieve victory. In reality, the book of Romans contains so much information on this battle between self and spirit, we could spend quite a bit of time investigating this topic. But for today, I'm just going to focus on the beginning portion of Romans 8. For a bit of context, back in chapter 7, Paul addresses the reality that there is a real war being waged in his life, in which his desire to serve God is battling his desire to please his flesh, or his carnal body, as the Bible often puts it. In verse 24, you can hear the agony of this battle as he writes, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Then he gives us a clue that there's hope coming, as in verse 25 we read, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Today we're going to begin reading at verse number 1 in Romans chapter 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." First, here we see the triumph of God's grace over sin, as the human is delivered in verses 1 through 3. You know, there's new life that comes to the believer that frees them from their bondage to sin and to death. Christ lived a sinless life in an earthly body, proving that the problem was not the flesh or not the body, the humanness, but the sinful carnal heart of man. that seat of desires that wars against God, that enmity against God that must be transformed by the power of God. God proved through Christ that to be human is not bad or sinful, but to be carnally minded is the problem. The deliverance from sin is not a deliverance from humanity, but a transformation of the desire and heart of the person as the Spirit of Christ dwells within. My friend, the glorious reality is that this deliverance from sin frees us from the awful guilt of the past, for Christ has paid in full the price. The words that this chapter begin with, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus," is a glorious reality for the child of God. I know Satan may attack and try to burden us down with the sins of the past, but we may face him and boldly claim the blood of Jesus, even if we may face consequences for wrongs committed. But as someday we stand before the final judge, the one who really matters when we stand before God, the glorious reality is that we will stand forgiven. Christ Jesus frees us from the old walk and the course of life that was centered on pleasing ourselves and has given us new spiritual life and new strength to walk with him in strength and hope. We see here that the carnal, the old fleshly human desires need to be displaced. The natural man is born thinking of the needs of his body and his interests center on the things that he finds that bring pleasure to himself. Once delivered from sin, a believer is to subordinate his or her will to God's instruction or God's law. God's law is right, and in following it is a path of healthy, victorious living. But that old self-centered will does not want to be displaced as the ruler of the life. It wants to go on pleasing self, self-centered and self-seeking as it always was. This problem is universal. There are so many self-help books that encourage you to plan for the future, you know, and work towards lofty life goals. And those are great things to do. But how many people get caught up in trying to achieve something that will only bring them a temporary satisfaction, an earthly goal, a temporary goal, and they forget about their soul, which will live on forever in eternity someday? You know, I think, though, that God designed each of us to live for something more, and he's placed within our hearts a desire for something that will really last. God has placed within a desire for something with a real significance and eternal value, and the old self-centered life will never really fully satisfy that desire. This enmity or battle against the will of God is the cause of spiritual defeat in the lives of so many. As Satan tempts them with earthly pleasures and sins, they're pulled away as they yield to those temptations and begin to disobey God. We know that there must be something done about the carnal spirit, that enmity, that battle within that's found within the heart of each person. Verse 6 gives us insight that the mind of the believer must be set on something new and must not remain focused on the old path and remain stuck in doing things the old way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we read, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." My friend, really right here, for those that are struggling in their faith and keep falling back into sin and as Satan tempts them and draws them away, right here is the solution to that. It's not a self-help guide that a man needs, but as he looks to Christ and finds help from Christ, he is able to overcome the flesh and the temptations of Satan. Yes, those temptations are real. And yes, the battle is real. The Apostle Paul sees that and experienced it himself. But there is hope. There is freedom. There is a path of victory. And for a third and final point this morning, the Spirit of God is enthroned in the heart of the believer. We see this in verses 9 through 11. You know, this morning, this is the real power of Christianity, the real way that a Christian can live in victory over sin. It's not just a hope so, it's not just a redefined sin to fit within a certain set of terms, but the believer is to be the dwelling place of God. And as God himself lives within the believer, filling them with his Spirit, he empowers them to live free from sin. Verse 9 says it so clearly, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That indwelling presence of God is the key to victory for the believer. This presence of God does not do away with our humanity and the vulnerability we have to be tempted. But as we daily, moment by moment, rely on the power of God that's been given to us, we're able to put to death or mortify, as verse 13 says, the deeds of the body. My mother was raised in Canada on a farm, and a neighboring farmer had quite an addiction to alcohol. But God reached down into his life and saved him from his sins and saved him from the addiction that had so long enslaved him. He totally gave up drinking and the lifestyle he'd lived for so long and was sober for a number of years when he recalls that on one hot summer day, the desire for cold beer came to him as it had in the past. He said he could almost taste it, and the temptation came so strong, he thought he was going to be overcome by it. He couldn't think of anything else for quite a while. No doubt in his own strength, he would have failed and fallen back into the old life. But as he cried out that day to the Lord for help, God came and met with him. God came and met with him and gave him the strength to resist the old temptation. He found that there was new power within that enabled him to overcome the old addiction. And he was happy to report that for the rest of his life, with God's help, he'd been free from that bondage. It wasn't that he was free from any temptation to return to the old ways, but he had found that as he turned to God and sought his presence, that the indwelling presence of God was able to keep him in victory. He'd been delivered from the old life and from bondage, and his carnal fleshly desires that once ruled his life had been made subordinate to the Spirit of God, which was now enthroned upon his heart. My friend, this morning, this is to be the natural state of every believer. This is not a display of man's righteousness or the ability of man to prop himself up or help himself, but this points to the righteousness of Christ that reigns within and has transformed the believer. And it's true that a righteous God, if he expects man to live according to his law, according to his word, it's only right that he give and provide for man the ability to do just that. For the sinner who is lost and broken by sin, thinking that they will never be able to be freed from the bondage of an addiction or a life so burdened with guilt that there seems to be no hope, God has grace to meet their need. He has power to deliver them. For the new believer that's struggling to overcome temptation and perhaps has even failed, and Satan is telling them that this is a vicious cycle, you're just going to keep fighting, I encourage you that there is victory to be found in Christ. Jesus is faithful to the repentant, and he's full of grace. And as you look to him for help, he will provide for you a way of escape. He'll pick you back up. And in him, as you trust him, as you obey him, as you look to him, there is power to live as we trust in his word. Scripture is filled with promises for the one who is spiritually weak, that if they will come to God, he will be faithful to meet their need and complete his work in them. My friend, this morning, if you once knew Christ as your Lord and Savior, but today you know that you're far from him and maybe you've given up hope, not in Christ, but hope for yourself, my friend, there's grace available for you. Satan will do everything he can in his power to keep you from trusting God, to try to make you think that there's simply no hope. But don't let him keep you from the victory that Christ has won for you. Consider again the words of verses 10 through 11 that say, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." God has power to deliver you. God has grace available to renew your mind and your desires to be pure and righteous before him. And God is able to dwell within you, to give you the power that you need to walk with him. And even in this life, in this mortal body, in the human flesh, God is able to give you life that is only possible through his power. My friend, this morning you can be freed from the guilt of the past, not because you've lived a perfect life, but because the sins of the past have been forgiven, and the weight of guilt no longer holds you down, and the path forward to heaven is made possible by the power of Christ, a Christ who can raise you even indeed from the dead, and bring new life and new hope to you each day.
To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful man, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. Oh, to see written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin.
Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow, this the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross.
Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finished the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became
My friend, there is no other power under heaven whereby man can be saved. In the providence of God, Christ made the sacrifice that fully atones for your sin. Christ wants to live daily with you. And that means that when you mess up and fail, and it's likely that you will, God is there to pick you up and to help you get back on track. I encourage you to keep your eyes on the one who is able to keep you from falling. Well, our time for this program is coming to a close, but if you have a question about how to be saved or a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during our regular service times at 10:30 this morning or 6 o'clock tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690. That's 717-273-3690. Or you can send an email to lebgmc, that's lebgmc, at gmail.com. We'd be delighted to help you in any way that we can. We're a church of just ordinary people, but we've found God to be the answer, the hope, and the help of all who seek him. And in Jesus Christ, there truly is victory to be had. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.